Coming up on Which Way Is Life, episode number one. My guest today, Dr. Pam Peek. Learn why you need to get off the gerbil wheel of life and touch base with yourself throughout the day, why it's important to really understand what brings you joy in life, and how to gain a mental edge to stay on track with your fitness needs by understanding your power why. Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/whichwayislife. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Which Way Is Life? Your roadmap to a healthier, inspired life. Bill talks with trendsetting doctors, fitness gurus, life coaches, celebrities, athletes, and other interesting experts to help you find the life you want to live. Get inspired. Get healthy. Reconnect with life. Here's Bill Klaproth.
On the show today, Dr. Pam Peek. Dr. Peek is an internationally renowned physician, scientist, and expert in the fields of nutrition, metabolism, stress, and fitness. Dr. Peek is a Pew Foundation scholar, assistant professor of medicine at the University of Maryland, and founder of the Peek Performance Center for Healthy Living. She is also a New York Times best-selling author, is a regular in-studio medical commentator for CNN, The Today Show, Good Morning America, and Nightline, and is a monthly columnist and contributing editor for Prevention, Good Housekeeping, Fitness, and More magazine. And you can also hear Dr. Peek on the Her Podcast, one of the best health podcasts you can find. Dr. Peek, you have a lot going on there.
I know. I'm just exhausted listening to you. I can't believe I've done this with my life. Just a moment while I just sort of sit here and just grab some water and try to take a little chill. I'm
Can
on
you
it.
Let us in? Let us in on your personal life. Who are you when you're not saving the world?
When I'm not saving the world, you know something? It's interesting. Most people like myself who are multimedia, I've done TED Talks and obviously I do radio, I write, I teach, I work one-on-one, I work one on 10 million. You know, what's really interesting is we live in a wild world of being on and then really looking forward to being off. One of the happiest moments I have is basically walking in nature and just getting the heck away from all of it. Unplug, that's what I love to do. I'm actually a triathlete, and I'm part of the Senior Olympics. Well, actually, I'm a Senior Olympic triathlete, and I'm on their board. And what I love to do is get out and then just sort of, you know, have nothing wired to me at all and just simply immerse myself in every single aspect of nature and just work in it, mind and body.
That's really cool, and I appreciate your love of nature. Well, I like to start the show with the one thing. Are you ready, Pam?
Uh-oh, here we go.
What is one thing someone can do to improve their life today?
All right, you guys ready? Sit down, hold on, strap it on. Here we go. Hop off the gerbil wheel. Be still and go inward. Find a moment to just reconnect with you. And you can't do that when you're running at Usain Bolt pace inside a gerbil wheel that you created.
And how often should we do that each day?
Do you want to know something? You could do it throughout the day. This isn't one of those things. I mean, clearly you can ritualize. So when you wake up in the morning, before you do anything, right? Open your eyes. First, be really grateful you're still here. Just saying. Okay? And, you know, so you start it all out with gratitude. Say a few gratitudes to yourself. Because you know something? No matter how funky your day is looking, you can really reframe it by going through that list of gratitudes. I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for that. It just puts everything into a much more realistic context, and you feel pretty good. The next thing you want to do is just kind of go to yourself, say, yo, self, how you doing? How's it going? How you feeling right now? Just talk to yourself. Be introspective. And then be still. Just allow any thought to happen. You can close your eyes, open your eyes, use music, just sit there. Whatever you want to do, it's remaining in touch with yourself. How long's all this take? Heck, it could take a minute. It could take 5 minutes. whatever you want. This is individualized for you. And then throughout the day, let's just say you're stuck on the tarmac at, you know, LaGuardia, like nobody's ever been there before, and your plane is 33rd in line, and they swear you're going to make it back to Washington, D.C. that night at some point. All right, what can you do? Well, instead of freaking out and everything, there's another moment you can take right there. All right, you can even slap on those Bose headphones. He can knock off all the other sound around you and just go inward again. You know what it is? It's touching base with yourself. What's really important is to be able to touch base. That's what's important. That's what's key.
You know, it's really hard to do in our fast-paced, hectic social media world, but that's really good advice. When I ask for the one thing to start the show, that's just what I'm looking for, Pam. Those are great steps that anybody can take, and it's easy to do, and it doesn't cost a thing. So thank you for that. I love that.
There you go.
So part of living a healthy, inspired life, which this podcast is about, is being healthy and making the right decisions when it comes to food and exercise. So in your book, The Hunger Fix, you talk about food as an addiction. Why do we crave and choose junk food over healthy choices? Why do we get addicted to food that is unhealthy for us? We know it's bad for us, but we want it and we eat it anyways. Why is that?
You know, it's funny how tuna on a bed of greens never quite does it when you really want to be able to get some comfort food, right? All right. So much for protein and green things. This is what the new science shows from the National Institute of Drug Abuse. And when I wrote The Hunger Fix, which was the first and the main consumer book now that describes the science of addictive eating and overeating, where does that come from? All right. You have two primal rewards. Primal, meaning, you know, this is the way we were from the beginning of time. The two primal rewards are tied in with survival. The first one is sex, and the second one is food. Not necessarily in that order. Whatever, right? All right, we're going to talk about food. When it comes to food, the most rewarding are those kinds of foods that we call the hyper-palatables. The ones that go, whoa, you know. Tuna, I bet, of greens doesn't quite cut that. So it tends to be sugary, fatty, salty food combinations. Unfortunately, the food industry figured this out a while ago and decided to kind of put these kinds of foods on steroids. So now you have processed, refined foods that just knock it out of the park in your reward center. Does this mean having a slice of, you know, birthday cake's going to kill you? Of course not. But you see, when you expose yourself to that level of reward continuously throughout the day, every single day, it overwhelms that part of the brain. And therefore, that brain changes. And no one ever knew this until we had brain scans. And this was about 10 years ago. Oh my gosh. Once we were able to peer inside the brain and actually see what was happening in the reward center, our jaws hit the floor. And what we found was that the primal body, in order to help you survive, considered all this overwhelming comfort food, constantly numbing pain and angst and anxiety and stress around you with all this stuff, which was hyper, hyper palatable food. What that did was it changed the reward center so that what you needed, instead of just that one cupcake or that one cookie or that one, you know, piece of candy or whatever, it made you tolerant to them. And so now one was no longer good. 20 was much better. But you never were able to achieve the same level of reward since the very first time you ever tasted that. And so what happens over time is you habituate. You say, oh my gosh, I'm so anxious. I'm so stressed. They gave me another deadline. Oh my gosh. And you're reaching for, you know, a family-sized bag of cookies. And next thing you know, the whole damn thing's gone. You're like, what? How did I do that? There's no mystery here. You develop tolerance. And this happens over time with constant exposure to this stuff. And does every single person end up doing this? Absolutely not. But I'll tell you one thing, it's more like 1 in 10, and that's a boatload of people on this planet. That means that some people are much more vulnerable to developing this kind of a habit. By the way, FYI, what our science now shows is if you've had a history especially as a child and a teen, of abuse or trauma as you see it, right? Everything is always in the eyes of the beholder. If you had that when you were growing up, your chance of picking up addictive eating habits goes up by 90%. Because when you think about it, you're 7 years old, right? You got a divorce going on. People are screaming and you're abandoned and you're being neglected and blah, blah. Let's just say there's no physical abuse, nothing like that. It's just all emotional stuff going on, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you're 7 years old. What are you going to be, a meth head? No. The only primal reward a seven-year-old has is food. And they're going to reach for it. And if they have the genetics and if the environment continues to be the way it is, et cetera, guess what? They're going to continue to self-soothe. And that begins to develop a whole parallel universe of physiologic changes that you're going to have to unwind at some point.
That being ingrained at an early age, that just makes that cycle even tougher to break as you get older, right?
Oh, yeah. And I'm, you know, the grand majority of the people I actually work with, you know, when we crack open the hunger fix and I say, okay, now let's just start reading this together and let's just start laying down the foundation, what they have to do is double work. One is they have to deal with lifestyle stuff. Okay, if you're not physically active, let's get physically active. Why? Because what it does is it actually helps soothe you in a healthy way. When you're nourishing yourself with whole foods, it soothes you in a healthy way. And then finally, the mind work. And the mind work isn't just, you know, going into a corner meditating and staring at your belly button. You're going to have to go to your demons. You're going to have to reframe what happened to you. You're going to have to, you know, tell a different story now. You know, my parents, you know, God love them, whatever, but they were pretty lost souls, and they laid some trips on me, and I was neglected. And you know something? It's what happened. I'm going to reframe this now. I am now, you know, 40 years old, and I get it with what happened, and they weren't perfect people, and I'm going to be fine, and I'm going to develop new habits that are better for me. Now, there's another science that goes along with this, Bill, and this is something I brought out in the Hunger Fix as well. I lucked out because as I was writing about the hot new science on the relationship between these hyperpalatables, most of which are refined and processed, and addiction, guess what happened? Epigenetics was birthed. And it was right here. You know, I'm very close to the National Institutes of Health, and I have been a National Institutes of Health scientist. And what happened was we discovered, oh my gosh, DNA is not destiny. We thought that if you were born with, you know, funky genes for mental health issues like depression, obesity, diabetes, addiction, all these things, that you were basically screwed. You're like, oh, well, gosh, you know, got a rough deck of cards here. Well, we were wrong. Thank God we were wrong. Brilliant experiments were done over the last 10 to 12 years, a lot of which I described in the Hunger Fix, where we found, for all intent and purposes, this is the way I describe it when I teach, is that the mass majority of genes have like dimmer switches on them. And if you take like a vulnerability like obesity, if I know that I've got that vulnerability, look at your family, et cetera, et cetera, well, then I'm going to work extra specially hard to nourish myself appropriately, be physically active, be mindful, be present. And when I do that, guess what I do? Instead of being, imprisoned by that gene and a slave to that gene, the gene is dampened down. We found that if you take the most powerful gene associated with obesity, it's called the F as in Frank, T as in Tom, O as in obesity gene, the FTO gene, which is actually fairly ubiquitous out there, about 66% penetration globally. If you simply take people who definitely have full expression of the gene, they're at least 100 pounds overweight, right? And now you just get them up and do nothing more. The only intervention is having them walk an hour a day. Over the course of time, that 6 months to 12 months, guess what happens to the gene? Because we can locate the gene very easily using our studies and everything. And what we found is that you could dampen that gene up to 40%. And magically, as it were, people started dropping weight just by doing that one little intervention. We never had them, you know, meditate. We never changed their diet. But it started happening anyway. They started feeling better. They started being more mindful. They started paying more attention, you know, to how they were eating. It's like a domino effect. But 40%, holy moly. So the word is epigenetics, epi meaning around the gene, all the stuff, environment, right, and lifestyle choices are powerful here. So if you change up your environment, make it much more user-friendly to be healthy in, right? Declutter. You know, honey, you're not taking a walk if you can't find the snakes, okay? So let's declutter. Let's clean it up, right? So that there's your environment. You know, get rid of people, tribal members in your life who just don't work for you. Sorry, you got to go, right? So you're cleaning up your environment. At the same time, you're also reorganizing your lifestyle. And when you start making the better choices, you've got a better environment within which to be able to work and live. Guess what happens? All of those funky genes then get their dimmer switch turned to the left. They're all dampened. And guess what? You have an opportunity to be able to live so much better without the addiction, the obesity, the diabetes, and the depression.
Well, that's really fascinating what you talk about. So childhood trauma can really bring this on and makes the cycle tougher to break. However, DNA is not responsible. And I never knew that you could affect or change or modify genes with environment or lifestyle. And those sounds like simple changes, which is really kind of what I'm after here. I want people to leave with actionable steps that they can use to make positive change in their life. And simply by walking is something, again, free, doesn't cost anything, but it seems like a simple change to make.
You know what's really interesting, Bill? You're absolutely correct. And it's a very simple thing. I'm all about keeping it simple because, you know, those first steps when you're really turning things around have to be simple to really be sticky. You know, to stick with you and be sustainable. But you know what's really cool is when I explain very simply the science behind it, people get really juiced up about this. They go, oh my gosh, just by taking a step, I can make changes in my genes. But there's one more thing. And that is, especially with regard to physical activity, all right, and also using your mind, you know, for intellectual things and challenges. But especially for physical activity, guess what you do? You build a bigger brain. You heard me right. Neurogenesis is what it's called. And that means that more brain cells are actually formed in your brain because they're stimulated to do so when you do physical activity. I always tell my patients, you want a bigger brain? Get up, assume the vertical, keep it moving. Isn't that cool?
I got to tell you, when you were explaining this, I was thinking to myself that this really comes down to mental stamina. And I was going to ask you, well, we need our brains to be tough. How do we build our brains to be tough?
I think of three words: believe, achieve, succeed. You start with the belief in yourself. I can do this. I can absolutely do this. And then you push into achievement. You actually get out there and do it. What's the worst that can happen? You fall on your behind. Stand up. Dust yourself off. Learn. There's always a lesson. And then get stronger and wiser. Just put it out there and begin to do that. And realize that the grand majority of survival, like Charles Darwin once said, had nothing to do with being the smartest or the strongest. It was those who could adapt who survived. So can you get up? Can you move? Can you flex? Can you learn? Can you get through it all one way or the other by adapting and adjusting constantly? Heck yes, you can. And the only way to start is to start. Take that first step and then push fear to the side and simply say, hey, I'm going to be fearless today. I can do this. Of course I can. I believe in myself.
Absolutely. Mental reinforcement. I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. And you have to start, like you say. And I love that. Believe, achieve, succeed. Believe it's going to happen, and it will. And you know what? You're going to start walking. Maybe a couple days, you're not able to make it. But get back and keep going. Restart again. Believe that it's going to happen for you, and it will. And then that achievement starts to happen, and it's like a snowball. And then before you know it, you've succeeded. I love those three. Believe, achieve, succeed. That's terrific.
You know, you've got to stay present. You got to stay centered. That's why I said hop off the gerbil wheel every now and then and just recenter again. Come back to self and then ask yourself, how am I doing? Check in with yourself. That's all you need. Notice I never even said, as it were, meditation. I said, check in with yourself. There's a million different ways to do that. When you say meditation to a lot of people, they kind of run the opposite direction. They're like, oh gosh, I got to join an ashram and, you know, put on robes or something. No. Check in with yourself. Just like you do with everybody else in your life. Check in with yourself.
Absolutely. You know, the meditation, right? You think about the sitting with the cross-legged and the fingers, to the thumb and the forefinger touching the that's really not what it's about. And how you put it is an easy way to achieve the same benefits of meditation. And, you know, when you were talking, I was thinking about rethinking our relationship with food. You know, sometimes or so many times after a victory or to celebrate a milestone in life, we say, I'm going to treat myself to that big bowl of ice cream tonight, when that's not really a treat for our bodies. How can we rethink that relationship with food?
Well, you know, here's the deal. There are treats. The treats are important in people's life. What the treat actually looks like and how often you have it is fairly variable. There's nothing wrong with, you know, a birthday cake, anniversary cake, or, you know, that special apple pie or whatever happens at Thanksgiving time. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. It's just that what happens on a daily basis
right.
is that people
There's the difference.
Are,
right.
There you go. There's a difference between these anniversaries and holidays, as it were, that happen only occasionally throughout the year, and then people, as it were, treating themselves every flipping day with the same stuff, like you're having a, you know, a daily birthday. And you can't do that because your body, you know, its software program is really not set up to do anything like that. It can't do that. That's way, way much for it to do. So instead, you know, I treat myself to a marvelous walk with a buddy in the park and my dog, my German Shepherd. Nothing in the world makes me happier than throwing that ball and having a great talk with, you know, somebody who I really care about. That makes me feel fantastic. To be able to listen to music that makes me happy and joyful. Ah, that feels good. Dancing is awesome. Sometimes I dance by myself. Sometimes I go somewhere with friends and do that. You know, hopping on my bike and just feeling the wind in my hair feels amazing. So you have to come up with a repertoire of things that give you joy. You know, it's interesting. When I walk up to people, and I do this all the time. I say, all right, what gives you joy in life? What's really fascinating is many times people will just look at me and give me a blank stare. And then it takes them a while to kind of, when I'm helping my mother, watching my kids play, what's really fascinating is that they really don't have a long list. They haven't really worked it.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly what I love to call daily joys. You know, when you say, well, I like having that vacation. Well, honey, that's once a year. Now, come on. We're talking about daily joys. What gives you joy daily? You know what gives me? I'll give you an example. I'm a lark, which means I get up early in the morning. Nothing in the world makes me happier than to look at a beautiful sunrise. That just, whoa, you know, when you can see the colors and all the rest of it. That's just crazy. And I really look forward to that when I have my little cup of coffee in my hand. And there you have it.
So important.
It could be something as simple as that. You see, down, work it.
Work it. I was going to say, and another thing that you look forward to that gives you joy, talking to me. So there's another one you can add right to the list. Right at the top of the list, baby. Right there.
I'm putting it right there.
Right
Come
there.
On. Do you hear me writing that?
I love it. when you were saying that, you were going, and that's what I was looking for, rethinking treats is, oh, I'm going to have food. But you listed off four things that you enjoy doing. And when you were saying that, I was thinking to myself, boy, if somebody asked me what things really give me joy in my life, would I be able to recite them like you did? So that's really important. So what I want everyone to do is listening right now, like Dr. Peek said, you got to work it. List the things that give you joy and then try to hit on those as often as you can. I think that's so cool and so important, Pam. Thank you so much for that. What health issues are you most concerned about today?
In the global population?
For us now, for us today, living today, what health issues are you most concerned about?
This is such a great question, Bill. I wrote a book called Fit to Live. You know, the Discovery Channel, who I was working with, I had been doing the National Body Challenge series for 8 years, took that book, Fit to Live, and turned it into a series, an award-winning series called Could You Survive? Now, Fit to Live was all about, are you literally mentally, physically, nutritionally, environmentally, even financially fit to live your dreams? Could you, if you were faced with a challenge, take care of yourself? Can you fend for yourself? Let alone, you know, help other people. It was a real interesting twist on the whole issue of fitness. And ironically, the fitness industry has now caught up with my book and my series. And that is, everything is now turning into something functional. Mental, spiritual, nutritional, physical fitness. Are you now someone who could literally, you know, be able to stay independent as long as you live? Can you stay independent in every single way? Not just physically, but mentally and otherwise. Are you putting yourself in a situation where you can do that? So, when I'm watching people who don't take care of themselves physically, who are not getting the appropriate nourishment, who are stressed out of their brains and, you know, are grabbing onto the sides of the gerbil cage as they're running along back and forth, they're not becoming fit to live their own dreams and to live their life optimally. They can't. It's impossible. So it's time we drop this silliness about, you know, lifting 28 biceps curls and all the silliness. Look at a very different goal. If you had to run for your life, could you do it? If you had to run up that hill, could you do it? If you had to run after your grandchild running for, you know, the street, could you grab him in time? You know, are you able to lift things to be able to allow yourself to do what you need to do? For instance, how about that overhead in the airplane? Or are you always asking other people to help you with that? What about that? I'm looking at every single aspect of this. So the condition that I'm seeing is overall lack of fitness, mental, spiritual, nutritional, and physical.
Real world physical needs. I love the way you look at that, because I've never looked at it that way. Are you able to open the overhead compartment on the plane? If you had to run for your life, could you? If you had to make it up that flight of stairs, could you? That really reframes the conversation on fitness instead of, I need to look buff and do I have the six-pack abs? So that's excellent. And I see, and I'm sure we all do in our daily lives, when you look at somebody and they're sitting down at that big cheeseburger, not that having a cheeseburger now and then is bad, but you look at them and their overall picture and you say, oh man, that's the last thing you need to be eating right now. Don't you wish you could just go up to them and go, why are you doing this? So
well,
I like the way
you
got to
wait for people to be ready, though, Bill. I always rein myself in. You know, if someone is ready, you know, they always say, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And this is why I get these people who, you know, maybe have read my book 5 years ago, but now they're ready. Because they've had what I love to call, and this is, you know, when I write all my books, I make up words, I go along. That's when they have something I love to call an epiphany. Right?
Right.
And that
right.
means that it's all about them. All of a sudden they go, oh my gosh, 1 + 1 = 2. Who knew? And they made the connection. And now they're all about turning it around, transforming, transitioning, just optimizing their life so that they can be overall fit to live their dreams. But you can't do that unless you've done the work.
Let's talk about this, because the mental part of health is so important. You can't force anybody to do anything. Nobody wants to be yelled at. Nobody wants to be shamed at anything. It's really up to you. Only can control one thing, and that's yourself. If somebody is listening to this and they've had trouble starting, is there a way to help somebody mentally get ready to, okay, now I'm ready to start my journey of fitness? Or is it just an individual thing that when it happens, it happens? Is there any tips you can give to somebody listening right now?
Yeah, here's what you could do out there. If you're having trouble really getting started, I want you to just sit down for a moment, and I want you to ask yourself, why? Why do you want to make any change at all? Why not just hang out? Do exactly what you've been doing forever. It's something I call the power why. What is it that really makes sense to you for change? And that means that you need to connect with a consequence. Do you want to be able to keep up with your kids? Do you want to be able to hop up those steps at the Parthenon when you go to Greece next year? Do you, you know, what's going on? Make that connection. You cannot ever make change in your life until you understand the power why. Because your why may be completely inconsequential to me, but it means everything to you.
That's, again, great advice. And you know, on the Which Way Is Life podcast, we're trying to provide you a roadmap to life. And Pam, you are laying down a great roadmap. So now we have two projects for you. One is find out the joys in your life. What gives you joy? And what is your power why? What are those things that are important to you? Keeping up with the kids. Do you want to go for a bike ride? Long walk? Like you said, hiking the Parthenon. So a couple of projects for you. A little homework there. But if you understand those things, that can help you in your journey to a healthier, inspired life. Really good stuff, Pam. I got another question for you. I have this theory, and you kind of touched on this a little earlier, that most high-performing people have a certain way they start their day, whether it be 15 minutes reading or writing thank yous or meditating or whatever that might be. Let me ask you this. I'm very curious. How do you start your day?
You're absolutely right. High-performing people, and I definitely would be in that tribe, have rituals. We tend to have rituals because guess what? You know, just like a high-performing athlete has rituals, you always see Michael Phelps, you know, with those headphones on his head before he dives
Absolutely.
In the pool because he's getting into his place, right? Mm-hmm. So we all have rituals. One of the things I love to do more than anything else, I told you, if possible, assuming, you know, the clouds aren't there or whatever, I love to watch the sunrise. And many times, what if it's possible, depending upon the season, I like to do it outside. So there's a special place I sit where I watch the sunrise. And I'm still. And I think of my gratitudes. I am mindful. And what I do is I go inward. I center myself for the entire day. And I ask myself, all right, what's going to happen today? How am I going to do? How do I feel about that? And it's a really beautiful way to kind of reframe. Then what I love to do, depending upon my training schedule, is many times I love to start the day with physical activity. So again, because I'm a triathlete, I have actually four things for sure I go through. It's either, you know, swim, bike, run, and weightlift. And at the same time, what I also love to add is Pilates and yoga and martial arts, things that I can do almost anywhere, just absolutely happily. But physical activity really, really makes me feel great in the morning. When it's humanly possible, I always do physical activity, followed by something joyful, of course, like throwing the ball for my German Shepherd. And my German Shepherd oftentimes accompanies me when I either walk or run and back and forth. So those are real rituals. Notice I never said that the first thing I do is pick up my iPhone and start scrolling through emails. I don't do that. No, because you know why? You get lost in that. You have got to be with you. Center with you. Come back to you. Right? And then, of course, many times we have to be hopping on gerbil wheels here, there, and everywhere. So we're doing plane, trains, and automobiles and rushing about and doing our challenges of the day. And so that's how I love to start my day. And then, of course, nourishing myself after all of this.
Well, some of that that you said also fits into the find out what you find is joyful in life and playing with the dog,
exactly.
You know, throwing that, you're kind of combining two together there at the same time. So, and, you know,
absolutely.
I really like that. Think of your gratitude, center yourself, you know, how am I going to go through the day today? Those are all easy things to do as you're sitting there waking up in the morning. You know, you're so accomplished, Pam, a doctor and a person. I'm just curious. I'm sure you've had a lot of people around you throughout your life. What's the best piece of advice you were ever given that you think back on it, you kind of draw to or remember?
And the good news is I've been given a lot of great advice in my life from so many people. But as I became, you know, more and more public, certainly with my multimedia career, etc., I was told a long time ago by a wonderful sage from the multimedia world, park your ego at the door and never believe your own hype. And that means this is a way to stay very humble and come back to what Buddhists call, or many people call, beginner's mind. And that is, never ever believe that you've arrived. Instead, constantly be a student, constantly be humble, constantly be grateful. So I've never forgotten that. And no matter how hootsy-tootsy I am and back and forth when I see people running for coffee for me, or what, I say, I can get my coffee. I could do that. I'm a human being. I'm perfectly capable of getting my own coffee. I don't need 900 people, you know, running around me. It's one of those things where I'm always still me. And that's why going inward helps me stay there and not get lost in the whirlwind of hype.
So another benefit of going inward, it just helps you park
yes.
your ego at the door, as you say, and never believe in your own hype. That's really a good lesson for all of us. Well, coming up, we get the high five from Dr. Pam Peek. And if I could ask you a favor, you know, I have one simple goal for this podcast. I want people to walk away with something they've heard to improve their life, to make their life better, to have more meaning, to have more joy. And if we all do that, I think we slowly make the world a better place. I know that sounds silly, but that's what I believe in my heart. So we're trying to reach the most people we can with this podcast. If you can, jump on over to iTunes after this interview and rate and review the show. Leave comments. Tell me what you're interested in. Tell me what you're concerned about in life. And by doing that, we gain a wider audience. So if you could take 30 seconds and do that after the interview, I would greatly appreciate it. Coming up next, the High Five with Dr. Pam Peek. Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. And for you, my valued listener, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. I am currently listening to Designing Your Life by Bill Burnett and Dave Evans, a really cool book to help you answer the questions we all seem to ask in life. How can we have more meaning and purpose? Something we talk about right here on Which Way Is Life. If you want to check out Designing Your Life, download it for free today. Go to audibletrial.com/whichwayislife. Again, that's audibletrial.com/whichwayislife for your free audiobook. Time for the high five with Dr. Pam Peek. Pam, thank you again for being on with us. Are you ready for the high five, Pam?
I'm high fiving it right here.
Oh,
can
yeah,
you see?
Baby. Here we go.
I am.
High five. Here we go, baby. Number one.
Here we go.
In your profession, what's the question you get asked the most?
The question is, have I ever gone through what the person in front of me is going through?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
okay.
One of the things they usually say is, how can you really understand this if you're not obese, or if you're not diabetic, or if you're mm-hmm. not whatever the situation is? How is it that I can relate to them? It's almost magical to people. So then I go into my little thing. So it's the relatability.
Okay, Pam, number two, knowing what you know now, what advice would you give to your younger self?
I would say, yo, Pam, busy does not equal productive. I was just, 24/7, honey. I was feeling so great, working around like a crazy person, only to find out years later that, wait a minute, that's not necessarily the best way. How about doing something radical like, prioritizing, you know, your things. And so I raised my hand to everything. I had something called helium hand. You know, if you asked me to do something, my hand went up like a balloon. And now I am much more discerning.
So if you had to recommend a book to our audience, what would it be?
The Four Agreements by Ruiz. Oh my gosh, the Four Agreements are the best. And this is written by a Mexican philosopher physician, interestingly. It also has a great Audible book, so if you don't want to read the thing. And it's delightfully short, thank you. And it's extraordinary. The Four Agreements by Ruiz, always be impeccable with your word, never ever take anything personally, bag expectations and assumptions, and the fourth one is always do your best under the circumstances.
Okay, the Four Agreements, writing that one down. Thank you, very good. So Pam, what's your favorite health app or health resource you can share?
Ooh, a health app. Headspace is awesome. That one's great for meditation. If you really want to start diving into it and you have no clue as to what you're doing out there, Headspace is actually a great place to go.
Headspace. I love that. Great suggestion. Lastly, yeah. Number five for our high five, I think music soothes the soul. I'm a music lover, and I know one of your favorite sayings is, Pam, assume the vertical. What song or artist or genre of music do you need or do you turn to when you need a lift?
Oh, my goodness. See, here's, if you saw my music list, it would make you absolutely crazy because I have just about everything. There's no question about it. But, you know, it really, you're this is really going to be interesting. When I'm working out, and I'm really, you know, when I work out and I'm going inward a little bit, you know, a great artist is Moby, M-O-B-Y.
Sure.
I love Moby.
Yeah.
I have absolutely every flipping one of those albums downloaded on my Apple Music, and I just let them rip. Some of them are really juiced up, woo, you know, really getting into it. Other ones are really deep and, you know, kind of rich.
And
the thing I love about Moby, he's got a spectrum. And you can really kind of play with the whole thing. So I actually have that playing a lot.
Absolutely. He's got stuff from rock to almost spa-like music when you're getting massaged.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, good stuff. I love hearing that and learning about what other people love and enjoy. Pam, thank you so much for your time today. You have just been awesome. How can people connect with you?
Well, you can connect with me. Just run on over to my Facebook, which is Dr. Pam Peake, and that's P-E-E-K-E, or, you know, tweet me along because, gosh, I love to hear from you there, too, and that's at Pam Peake, M-D. And really, quite frankly, the Her Radio Show on Radio M-D and
absolutely.
iTunes. You can absolutely just, you know, run on over there, listen to my podcast over there, and connect with me there as well. So it's all good. And then clearly any of my books that we've already mentioned, but you'll see that also on my webpage, which is Dr. Pam Peake, and that's Dr. P-A-M-P-E-E-K-E.
Fantastic, Pam. Thank you so much again. I really appreciate this. And thank you for listening. Remember to catch every episode of Which Way Is Life. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or my show page at RadioMD.com. And once again, if I could ask a favor, please take 30 seconds and rate the podcast on iTunes. The reason being is we want to attract more people to the show just like you. And the only way we can do that is if you rate it and review it, which helps the show gain more visibility. So if you could do that for us, I would really appreciate it. Which Way Is Life is produced by RadioMD.com, award-winning health podcast. I'd also like to thank my producer, Pamela Moore. I'm Bill Klaproth. You can find me at Which Way Is Life on Twitter. You can also check out the show notes at RadioMD.com for all of my episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well.